Hi, welcome back to Words on a Wire. I'm Tim Hernandez, one half of your co-hosts here. Let's see. And I'm actually here today doing a special, really a special highlight on local Frontera, El Paso-based, El Paso region artists and writers. And for this edition, the first guest we have that I'm going to have today is my good friend y mi hermano Dennis Milona, who has a brand new book out. It's titled Why Rescue, is an anagram for secure, which is a great title, by the way. He's here in the studio with us, which is a rare treat because usually we have people phoning in from all parts of the country. But Dennis, fortunately for us, is locally based. So, Dennis, you know, welcome to Words on the Wire, my friend.
Thank you. I'm honored to be here. I appreciate it.
Nice. And you got your wonderful new book out, Why Rescue, is an anagram for secure. Is this your first collection of poetry?
Yes. Well, technically, I published a little bit in college back, I would say 24 years ago. But this is a culmination of, you know, I have about 1,700 pages of stuff and a lot of people urging me to put it out.
Nice. Yeah, really good. And, you know, it looks like the kind of work that, after having read it, the kind of work that's taken like an accumulation of years and sort of different poems at different times in your life, which is always makes a really rich collection. I mean, you know, power to those who can write one whole collection in 1 year time. That's great. But there's also something, I think, unique and something to be said for collecting poems over a period of time as your life transitions from different phases and all of that. You know, and that's what this seems to be. Is that an accurate description?
That's a completely accurate description. And also the choice, making a life choice to kind of, you know, I manage relationships. Managing relationships is a lot. It takes a lot of work. So when I made the life choice to scale back on managing tons of friendships, tons of relationships, and just, you know, keep my friends in one hand and start to dedicate what I'm really good at. So
right. Nice. And let's see. And, you know, I want to also give a quick nod to our good mutual friend Bill Clark over at Literarity for introducing us. Literarity is that really wonderful bookstore here in town. And it's actually kind of acts as a kind of a cultural hub. And that's where sometimes I walk into Literarity and I see Bill Clark there and I end up always walking out having met someone new.
Yes.
Or having been turned on to some new book, you know. And so and you were the person I met there. And Bill said to me, you got to get Dennis on your show. He's been, I guess he kind of looked at some of your poems at some point early on. And he just was, you know, he didn't have enough good things to say about your work. And so I said, let's do it. Let's get him on. So, yeah.
Yeah. You know, I worked back 20 years ago. I worked, I guess, half a decade at Half Price Books in San Antonio. So I just had so many books and I just kept reading and, you know, and somebody like Bill, I just flocked.
Yeah, I think we all flocked Bill. But that said, why don't you kick us off with a poem from your collection for our listeners out there?
Okay, fantastic. Well, this one is, I guess, dedicated to one of my favorite books, Crime and Punishment by Dostoevsky. And, you know, for those of you that may not want to read it or may not have the time to read it, well, here's a great synopsis. Title, Marooned and Dimmed on a Concrete Riverbank, a Thank You to the Novelist.
What page is that?
Page 27. Dostoevsky's Idiot, the glad-handed Raskolnikov, the realization of personality, brittle, sandy, an undertow of night, and the safety net is broken. By teeth grinded on the fourth act. Are we perfectly visible from a local perspective, he asks. Cell phone conclusions and texting sunsets all fill the acidic bladder now. Here's catfish swimming in rich mud. Here's bellies full of thought. Here's pituitary glands crammed with appetite. And here seethes the Russian. Novice and professional fire extinguishers alike say hell is a place where the act of delight ain't possible. Hell takes on the characteristic of being ununiversal, only for some chosen. It's liquid, always different in volume, a taste like silk. Absolutely nude is always better than tearing her silk off. Change, smells, colors. Blue, for example. Transcendentalism is a smell. Here the notion is burly. Appearances are forethoughts, a neat package presented, and then a consummation. A woman falls, a woman falls. A woman falls. While offering coin tricks and piano principles in wood and pasty rooms. The student believes he killed for a principle. The song gets written if you press your nose into the hymnal. Listen to the young, say your devotions, and keep your jewels hidden. Was it a violation he needed or the violating unto himself he needed?
And if you're just tuning in to Words on a Wire, that's the voice of poet Dennis Milona, who is based here in El Paso, and he's reading from his new collection of poetry, Why Rescue is an Anagram for Secure. I love the title, by the way.
Thank you.
It took me probably about four times reading that title before I caught on that Rescue is indeed an anagram for secure. How'd the title come up? I know you have the title poem in there, too, but how'd that idea come to you?
You just meet someone, so many people. You know, I've traveled around the world, and you've met so many types, and you realize who's close to you, who's like you, who's a stranger that is going through the same thing. And I've noticed that the most secure people still want to be rescued. Mm. And, you know, after a dozen years of marriage, after two dozen years of just throwing myself into good art, traveling. I'm notorious for taking a 4,000-mile road trip every summer. Things like that, you see that.
Yeah, you see that. In all walks of life, in all communities, and all backgrounds.
Yes, I mean, as far as Greece and Germany and Amsterdam, you see it. Right. You see it in Guanajuato. You see it anywhere.
That's right, yeah. And I was just in Guanajuato, so I did. I did see that.
Fantastic.
You know, and so you traveled a lot. And how long have you been here in El Paso? Because where are you from? Someone who seems to be, you know, worldly, where are you actually from?
Grew up south side of Chicago.
South side of Chicago.
All Greek neighborhood. Wow. You know, forced to go to church every Sunday, prayed a lot of the saints, was sent back to the motherland every summer.
Oh, wow.
Really? You know, on a little island. Yeah, my mom and dad are arranged marriage.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
So a lot of the old school is in me. You know, we make our own wine and our own olive oil, for God's sakes.
Yeah.
But, you know, I got to this – I grew up in south side of Chicago.
Yeah.
I went to college at St. Mary's, and I've been here since 01.
In El Paso?
Yeah.
Since
01? I've been here since 01.
Okay.
So it's home.
It's home.
I love it.
Yeah.
You know, I've camped everywhere around New Mexico. I'm a big camper and fisherman. And I just, you know, have a lot of time to do these things. But my biggest thing is good art, good books.
Good books,
You know. Right. I'm used to a lot of sci-fi.
Yeah, a lot of sci-fi.
Yeah,
there you go.
You know,
you got to do it.
Big Philip K. Dick fan.
Right.
But I'll read a lot of Louis L'Amour. I'll spend a month reading Louis L'Amour
and
writings of Black Elk.
Yep.
Big D.H. Lawrence guy.
Nice.
And, you know, of course, everybody goes through the Bolaño phase.
Yeah, you got to go through the Bolaño phase.
You got to go through it.
Initiation, yeah.
But, you know, my favorite books are, of course, Ferlinghetti and Henry Miller stuff.
That's what I was going to ask you. Some of the influences for the poetry that are in this book. So Ferlinghetti, Henry Miller. I see a little bit of Bukowski.
Yes.
You know, who else?
Yeah, Bukowski. And, you know, I just love Rimbaud.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a rare one. This is Comte de l'Otremont. I don't know if you've heard of this. It's Maldoror. What you see is a battle between God, and God forgets that there's another bad guy besides the devil.
Uh-huh.
So they're just having these cat and mouse games throughout the whole book. It was written by a 23-year-old in 1870.
Incredible.
Who just died right after.
He died right after. That's probably the only book he wrote.
Yes. So it's Rimbaud times 1,000.
Times 1,000.
And I really recommend it. It's called Maldoror.
Wow.
But this book has been a huge influence on me.
Nice.
And of course, film.
Film also.
Cronenberg. I mean,
Cronenberg,
I'm a big Cronenberg guy.
Very nice.
I digest Cronenberg, of course, and David Lynch. And
David Lynch, of course.
And then when it comes to musical, of course, anything pre-70s, blues.
Blues.
I just listen to a lot of blues.
Who's your blues guy?
You know, the Lowell Fulsoms,
Lightning
Hopkins.
That's right, Lightning Hopkins.
You know, and... I listen to a lot, and I've just discovered in the past 4 or 5 years a lot of chain gang music.
Chain gang? Like who? Like what are you listening to?
There's some music recorded back in the 1890s of chain gangs.
Uh-huh.
And you see how it's birth.
Yeah.
You see the birth of blues.
Right. In all
You know, of course, I'll just spend a whole week and listen to Ella Fitzgerald. So.
Yeah. You just try to geek out on each of these little areas.
Yeah, geek
out. They go into the poetry in some way.
Correct. And, you know, and I made the big life choice to stop the internet.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I only limit myself to four websites.
The one.
Yeah, so, you know, I made a choice to stop all that external stuff.
Right.
Because this can get to you. If you're trying to raise a family and then you're on the internet and then you're trying to do X, Y, Z.
Yeah.
You know, and then that Stephen King book on writing.
Yeah.
It really focused me.
Yeah.
So,
with the exception, though, I have to interject, with the exception of listening to Words on a Wire streaming online,
ktep.org.
But yeah, other than that, you don't tune into the internet. Other than that, yeah. Just kidding with you, man. But yeah, all of this is really influential in your work as you're describing some of these influences. I can see them sort of echoed throughout the lines, and even the way you set up some of your ideas, which is very straightforward language. I mean, there's obviously some lyrical in there. Some hard-hitting images, but there's a lot of like just pull no punches, you know, language that is sort of, it's very vulnerable, it's raw at times, and it's straight to the point. You know, you're not convoluting a lot of your ideas or heartbreaks or, you know, or your psychological landscape with words. You know, you're really kind of using the words as a way to support your ideas, as a way to even make us think differently about your situation.
Correct. Yeah. And the book's been called provocative.
Mm-hmm.
But there's also a ton of love poems in there.
Yeah, absolutely. They do. Yeah, and that's always a kind of a very difficult balance, I find, you know, to for one, to write a love poem. It's very complicated to do,
yes.
You know, without falling into, all the old tricks, you know,
yes.
Right? It is. But and then so you have to ask yourself constantly as you're writing it, you know, am I BSing myself, or am I really trying to get to the core of what I'm talking about? And you seem to be doing that work in some of these poems.
Correct. Yes.
Yeah. Let's see. I also wanted to ask you how then, after having traveled and lived abroad at different times and all that, how does specifically living in El Paso, do you feel influence your work? Is there something about this region specifically, since this show's highlighting some of the local writers, is there something about this region that you find might influence or shape your work?
Well, I find people to be more original here. Mm. I find people to be more open. I've had a great time living in El Paso.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my favorite thing to do, I did it 2 days ago. My top favorite thing to do is climb Crystal Ray.
Mm.
And that's when I realized that we're all family.
Yeah.
So I did Crystal that. Ray. I do it twice a year. It is my favorite thing to do in this town. And as I climb, as I go around that hill and get to the top, I release a lot of tensions.
It's kind of a meditation.
Yeah, it's a meditation. And I really think a lot more people should do it.
Yeah. How long does it take you to get up there?
It's a whole 3 hour up
yeah.
and down.
Yeah. Okay. But, so it's 3 hours, about 3 hours for everybody, 3-4 hours for everybody.
Yeah. And
okay.
Then you see the people do it barefoot.
Yeah.
And you
yeah.
see people doing it for yeah. different reasons. And yeah. you see people doing it to get seen. But, you know, for me, it's a meditation on when I get to the top, I'm throwing everything off.
Yeah.
And, you know, you light a candle, you make a donation.
I yeah.
throw everything off. So.
Let me just kind of give some context for the listeners out there who maybe aren't familiar with which, although usually probably everyone around this area would be. But Cristo Rey is basically this mountain top here that we can see from all parts of El Paso and in Juarez. And at the very top of it is a giant cross at the top where people make pilgrimages to and kind of circle around the mountain. I don't know much other, beyond that. I don't know much of the history. Do you know the history behind that? Do you know anything about?
Yeah, sculptor Urbici, I think his name is.
Mm-hmm.
He was affiliated with UTEP, I think it was the 50s. I've read the history several times, but got permission to put it up there, and they hiked that thing up
yeah.
there. It's beautiful. It's quiet. You see all the people crying up there. You see people really humbling themselves.
And it's right at the intersection. It's almost right at that intersection of El Paso, of Juarez, Mexico, and of New Mexico.
Yes.
It's right at that sort of trifecta area
yes.
right there.
Yeah. yeah. So I recommend that walk for anybody that's, you know, has something on their mind. And
yeah.
it's a real good way to let it go.
Yeah, it is. And so reading the work as well, you know, how has the I'm just curious to know how you said it was provocative, but how has the sort of general response been, you know, like going around reading from it? Have you been able to do that, go around reading more from it? And
yes.
What's the response been like?
Yes. And you know, and the whole thing is I didn't care to sell it. And, you know, Mr. Mm-hmm. Clark wants me to sell. I'm selling it. But
you published it, but you didn't care to sell it.
No, I really didn't care to make any money off it.
Awesome,
you know,
man.
It's just a lot of urging from friends and family
sure.
saying, hey, dude,
you got
a couple thousand pages.
Right.
You need to fix it up and throw it out there.
Yeah.
You know, I've written songs for a few bands, local bands in San
nice.
Antonio, and they're all saying, you know, put this out here. Go ahead and
yeah.
read it. So
There it is. So the response has been pretty...
The response has been positive,
yeah.
Nice. It's positive. I have a lot more
yeah.
Working on a sci-fi story.
Oh, really?
That's yeah, great. Working on a bunch of stories, and it's all there. The material's all there.
Yeah.
I just need to put it – I need to dedicate the time at which I have made that life decision. And sooner or later, it's going to get into something bigger or it's going to go away.
Well, you know, we're looking forward to everything that you put out. This is a really, you know, like I said, to the listeners out there, it really is a kind of you know, it really is, especially these days. It's kind of rare to see a poet, you know, through an expanse of time of their lives, like accumulate work and then put it together, you know, which is kind of, you know, I think was one of the sort of more older school approaches to writing.
Yeah.
You don't see that anymore. Everybody's really thinking conceptually now. People want to kind of produce something in a year and churn out as if writing is some, you know, factory and you got to keep churning stuff out.
Yeah.
And, you know, and I think we all kind of maybe get caught up in some of that early on. But for myself now, sort of as I'm getting older and up there in years now, I really start to tend to look more forward to reading books of this type who, you know, that through time really kind of let their arc develop, let themselves develop, see the evolution. And I kind of also try and teach that to some of my students here at UTEP as well. Like, look, conceptual is great, and we can, and there's a need for that, and there's some really amazing stuff that comes out of that, and too, you know, but there's also something to be said for taking your time, you know.
Yes, yeah, I divided up into two sections. You know, the first section is called Veins, and the second's Rebellion.
That's
I
right.
guess.
So that's right.
It speaks to that exactly.
And I like the Rebellion poems as well. In there, yeah, that kind of almost kicks it up a notch after the first part of it.
You
go to the Rebellion poems.
So,
well, speaking of that, why don't we close out? I know we have a short interview with you because we're doing a highlight on local writers and all that. But why don't we close with you sharing another poem with us?
Sure. This one's.
What's the page number?
Let's go to page 35.
Oh, already on it. Perfect.
This one's called You Make Me Feel Rich, a eulogy. And I hadn't seen my dad for 31 years.
Wow,
Tim.
Man.
And he just showed up one day.
Here in El Paso?
And he, yeah. Wow. And he promptly passed away 8 months after that.
Wow.
So I wrote this the night that I said goodbye.
Mm.
And this is one of those just came out. And it just came out on
those rare gems.
Just sitting on my bed, just laying. So here it is. You Make Me Feel Rich, a eulogy. You make me feel rich. Gloved hands touch the dying skull. They're not ferocious, but cleansed. A character built. Ernest and Frank Baum's travail the report card. The medical report. Bargain shoppers, cosmetic mule. Appreciated clipped with its wings for sale. Unrepresented existence, flussed and thrust on me like a temporary tattoo. Finesse progress, your mind is as statue mold, hollow, porous, off-white stale. Pour protein and help chance participate in the madness. Your puerile advantages burden the back, the star-eyed female. The usher in its trough, I have a tiny bit of trouble there. It is, for God's sakes, the other side of the Jordan River. Instigate hummingbirds and they will look for your long-lost honey. It's a turbine of talent, this fear and miasma I have on your long-lost existence. Family is meant to purr. Demure in pink. Shoes two sizes too big. You still walk hard. Frown proud. You can't fail. Peck like a chicken. Cackle like a rooster. Better howl like a wet wolf. You make me feel rich.
Mm. And that is the voice of El Paso-based poet Dennis Milona reading from his new collection of poems titled Why Rescue is an Anagram for Secure. You know, and I realize this right now, Sam, I think we're about 20 minutes in. I've gone like way over. So why don't we just go 5 more minutes and we'll just give you the whole show. Edit this part out right here, Sam, if you don't mind. Yeah, I mean, we just got 5 more minutes, you know, so I'll just do that and then I'll do the local. I'll just do like a 2 back-to-back local highlights, and Dennis will be the first one. And the next show, I'll just give them their own too, because we're almost there. You know what I mean? Why not? Why not give you the thing? And we're flowing. So we got 5 more minutes. We'll just keep going.
Yeah.
All right. You that good? That okay with you, Sam? All right. Just cut that part out, please. All right. So that is the voice of Dennis T. Milona reading from his new collection of poems, Why Rescue is an Anagram for Secure. Dennis, where can people pick up the book? You said that Literarity has it here in El Paso. Where else?
Yeah, Literarity has it so far. He's got a big stack.
Nice.
The guy's great. Bill Clark is great. I met him one time at the Book Rag, and he just kept saying, "Go at it, go at it, go at it." And
he's good for that.
We shared a list of books, and he was blown away by the books I was requesting from him.
Yeah.
So he's like, "Okay, these aren't normal books."
That's why when I spoke with Dennis, when I spoke with Bill about you, we all highly respect Bill there, but he reads. He's a real reader, like yourself, not like me. I skim. No, I'm just kidding. But y'all are real readers, and so I say that because Bill is somebody who is, like I said, always turning me on to new books and new writers, and I respect that. And so when he said that, I said, okay, Dennis's work has to be something at least worth looking at because it comes highly recommended that way. But on top of that, do you have other plans for marketing, like other readings locally here in El Paso or along the frontera, Las Cruces maybe, or in this area, or San Antonio? Or
yes, I'd like to start entering these local contests and local, book readings.
Right.
Of course, I'm most likely going to do one at Bill's, and just going to go around town and keep reading.
Right.
We'll see what happens.
Okay.
But the onus is now on me. I want to get it out.
Right.
I think it's worth it.
Right.
So.
It is. It is because, as you know, I don't have to preach to the choir here, but, as we all know, and the reasons why we love poetry so much is that, is it Ed Hirsch who says, I'm going to totally flub this up right now, but I'm going to paraphrase. I'm just putting it out there right now. Ed Hirsch who says that poetry is born from, struggle. Poetry is born from art is born from struggle and reaches an anonymous center. That's it, man.
Fantastic.
Hirsch said that.
That's a fantastic quote.
It's born from struggle and it reaches an anonymous center. And that's what your book does. The moment you get it out into the world, it's starting to touch these anonymous centers.
That's
correct. Starting right here in El Paso. That said, so you're talking about your next work is going to be a work of sci-fi?
Yeah, I'm trying
How's that been?
I'm trying to work on a sci-fi.
That's bold, man.
Yeah.
Going from poetry to sci-fi.
Harlan Ellison, Philip K. Dick, these guys are just a huge influence on me.
Yeah.
They have a lot to say.
Yeah.
Even Adventures of the Stainless Steel Rat, things like that, Harry Harrison.
Yeah.
I'm just really into.
Right.
But then I'll spend a whole month reading Lonesome Dove.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm just all over the place, but I always go back to good sci-fi.
Good sci-fi.
Yeah.
And what, can we get a little glimpse of what maybe that sci-fi project you're working on is involved? Like what's involved around it? Just a little glimpse?
It's all based upon a drug that aliens procure from Earth mosquitoes and use it as a boardwalk feature. So I'm trying to incorporate our times in it.
Nice.
And how we kind of boardwalk ourselves. And there's that little bit of part of selves in America that we don't have that much in reserve left for our families and for ourselves and for our art.
Mm.
And we start to wear ourselves thin. So I'm going to show how we need to get back to welling up ourselves, our soul.
Like replenishing.
Yeah, you got to get back to the spiritual self.
Right.
For many years I've been an advocate of, you got to run every day. You got to jog every day. You got to lift weights every day. But I'm realizing that it's better to have a feel for mankind and a good spirit. And,
We could use some of that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I was wondering, a lot of people are asking me to read this one.
Yeah.
On page 58.
Let's do it.
Do you think I could?
That sounds great. Let's do that. And we will in fact, close with that one.
Okay.
I lied earlier. I tricked you earlier. I told you we were going to close with the other poem, but you didn't know that that Dennis Milona had a bonus track left in him. So that's where we're going now.
This one's a hilarious one. And my son.
55, you said?
Yeah, my son came back from school one day and he had done number two, out in the yard.
How old is your son, can I ask?
Oh, he's 22 now.
Okay, yeah, but at
this
time.
Is an old one.
Okay, got you, at the time.
So this one's called In Remembrance of a Schoolyard Defecation.
Okay, 55 you said?
Yeah, 58.
Oh, 58, okay, yeah, that's right, okay.
Yeah, so all this one's a kind of a good commentary.
All right, are you sure you want to close on this one? Let's do it.
It's a little funny, we need some levity sometimes.
Let's go, okay, I appreciate that.
So, okay, title is In Remembrance of a Schoolyard Defecation. I commemorate and remember my son's excretion in the schoolyard that back year. What was he trying to say? He's got more courage than his old man. I'm so proud of him. His warm brick bother will soon be over. Why wouldn't I be mad, you ask? Well, he showed defiance amidst your brick walls, your popcorn ceilings, your fluorescent bulbs, and worst of all, your black-handed clocks. He showed defiance, unaltered and unilateral unto himself. He staged a sit-in.
A asterisk sit-in.
And furthermore, can a woman stand on her own two legs when she's at the national pawn shop of virtue? Can a bored dog find loyalty? Can the mouths and the fingers of the local what-ifers finally stop wasting my time? And can a man sustain his family while his toilet fills up? I'm glad the boy gave himself a royal flush.
And that is a bit of levity from poet Dennis Milona, who is based here in El Paso, Texas. And check out his new book, Why Rescue is an Anagram for Secure. You can pick it up right now at Literarity. It's one of those very limited editions. Go out there and pick it up and support local writers and all the work that he's been doing. Thank you for coming on to our show, my friend.
Oh, thank you. It's an honor.
It's a pleasure. Yep.
Thank
and
you
good
so
luck.
Much. All right.
Good luck with the sci-fi.
Thank you, sir.
All right. And that wraps it up for this edition of Words on a Wire. I'd like to thank our wonderful special guest, Dennis T. Milona. You got to pick up his book, Why Rescue is an Anagram for Secure. You can pick it up only at Literarity Bookshop here in El Paso. Also want to thank our wonderful producer back there, Sam Cassiano. Hey! And, well, we look forward to seeing you same time, same place next week here on KTEP 88.5 FM.